You know, it is a shame, and it is certainly not my objective to have so much negativity after an Eagles win. I mean,
it's hard not to.
It is hard not to. It really is. I mean, we got to keep it real. I mean, we really do. Look, A.J. Brown's an amazing football player. You want to talk about the positives? That's clear. Saquon's a great player.
Dejean had a great game.
He did make a lot of plays.
He was all over the place.
He did, and he looks big, and I mean that in a good way. He looks like a physically big dude. He made some plays. He's got athleticisms. I mean, I was impressed.
He's tough.
He looks tough.
That's what I took away from that. They had him aligned on the very first drive of the game. Of course, you know, there's a lot of nickel and dime in today's game. He is out there as the Sam linebacker. You know, he's out there on the line of scrimmage as the strong side linebacker, making like nice plays with his hands, you know, playing off blocks, looking very strong and composed, setting the edge. You know, we talk about that all the time with our defensive ends not doing a very good job at times. And Cooper DeJean's in there setting the edge like a D-end, but better.
John, give me a ruling on a moment that hasn't gotten much discussion after the game. And I'm not going to come down hard on this at all. But I'm just curious, from your standpoint as a player, was Quinyon Mitchell's reaction to not getting the pick too much as a teammate or appropriate given a competitive nature? Because it was more than you normally see, but you also know he really wanted the interception, wanted to make a good play for his team, and the collision happened with Gardner Johnson. Does he need to tone that down if you're the coaches, or is that okay?
Yeah, he doesn't need to tone it down. I mean, it's in the moment.
Yeah, it was in the moment. It was an extended moment.
Absolutely.
I will say that.
No,
it wasn't just a moment.
He reacted. Seriously, we're grading guys' emotional response in slow motion.
Well, I thought about it. Yeah, I definitely thought about it.
It kept going.
Yeah, I wasn't upset with it, but I definitely was like, well, that's a lot.
Feel more mature than Nick Sirianni.
I thought, good. I'm glad he wanted it so bad.
Yeah.
It does translate. I think, okay, it makes sense. He really does want it bad.
Oh, there's no doubt
Quinyon,
about that.
He's precocious for a reason because he goes out there. Not only is he tough, also, you know, we talk about that with Cooper DeJean.
Sure.
Quinyon Mitchell is tough and loads of talent. So much talent.
Yeah.
I thought it was awesome to see him want it that bad that he was gesticulating.
Okay. All right, let's get into a NovaCare rehabilitation injury report here, because obviously a number, not a ton, but some significant situations yesterday with the Eagles injury-wise. So let's get into that with, of course, today here with us, Dr. Richard Francesco, a primary care sports medicine physician with Core Family and Sports Medicine in Glen Mills, PA, the NovaCare Rehabilitation Injury Report, and Dr. Francesco joins us right now. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's always a good feeling to wake up after an Eagles win.
It is, even when it sort of
a little dicey.
Sort of feels like a loss. No,
yeah,
I got you.
It's a little dicey. We definitely took a couple of hits there. I mean, we're definitely going to walk
indeed
through that right now.
All right, so, Doc, let's talk about this. Hamstring injuries yesterday for both Jordan Mulata and Dallas Goedert. Now, tell me if my non-doctor hat is on the right track here. I would hope and think that a hamstring injury for an offensive lineman would be less significant than a tight end, or what we saw earlier this year with some of the Eagles' wide receivers. Could an offensive lineman come back earlier because they don't have to run that far that often?
No, not exactly. Your intuition, it's in the best of intentions, but these guys are pivoting, sprinting, they're cutting, they're moving. They all need 100% no matter the position we're on.
Mm.
And this man, Mulata, I mean, he just needs power. Big tree falls hard. The human wrecking ball, 6'8", 365 pounds. When someone like this goes down with an injury, especially a hamstring, and then you see him on crutches, kind of gingerly walking away, needing help to move around, you know it could be serious. Looking at this thing, I mean, these kinds of injuries are graded 1 through 3. Goddard, I'm feeling a lot more optimistic about. I'm thinking a grade 1 or 2 for him. And when it comes to a grade 1 or 2 injury, grade 1, we're looking 2 to 3 weeks for full recovery, sometimes sooner if they can really work on it in PT and get them out there doing some practice. Grade 2 can be up to 8 weeks. But grade 3, that's kind of the red zone where we're like, we do not want to see that in our players.
Wow.
Because oftentimes this is going to be something that may need surgical intervention. And if it's surgery, I know you guys and gals don't want to hear it, but we're looking at 5 to 6 months out before you even get 80% of your baseline activity.
Doc, what are we talking about? Specifically, Jordan Mailata, the mechanism of injury. Like, you could see him grab the back of his leg. It was like the back of his lower leg.
Oh, yeah. He probably felt that pop in there.
Yeah. You could see him grab at it. I thought, holy cow, he's really responding like it's painful, like it's more painful than you normally see for a hamstring. The way it seems so acute and so, like, you could see exactly where it was, he's reaching for it. Is there something positive or negative about it being lower as opposed to higher? You know, the hamstring being such a large muscle, is there more blood flow at one end that we could take solace that there's a positive?
Well, you know, it's tough to say there because it could be a good thing. Could have just been a smaller tear, something at the distal or farther end of the leg. Sure, and that's good. But if he's grabbing it there, I mean, really hanging on after he feels this pop, what we don't want to know is what if he felt that muscle retracting down? Because a lot of times these tears happen a little bit further up in the leg, and then they tear and they form almost a Popeye deformity when they go down, a ball of muscle. And that's when, like, a lot of these times, these are non-surgical interventions.
I had an avulsion.
Oh, no.
Doc, what you're talking about, that idea, that concept, when I was going into eighth grade and my pelvis was growing, and I was running in a track meet, and my hamstring contracted, and it pulled a piece of the pelvis off. Like, wow. What we're talking about here, that sort of avulsion is a possibility.
You're feeling Jordan's pain.
Yeah.
Can I just say, I feel like Philadelphia sports has an avulsion right now. Like, the whole freaking thing. There's an avulsion. All right, Doc, let's say it again. NovaCare Rehabilitation Injury Report right now. Darius Slay, we don't know the exact nature of the knee injury. Could you get any sense looking at you know, the TV copy of what that may be?
No, it's tough to tell. You know, with his history, back in 23, he had a meniscectomy. So they had to go in there arthroscopically, meaning through some little holes in the knee, filled up the joint with some fluids, and then shaved down the meniscus. So what we're hoping is that that injury didn't repeat itself. Every time you go in for a meniscal repair or a shave down, you regain stability of the knee, but sometimes you're going to have a little bit of a compromise to the structure. So if they get an MRI on this and they feel like it's a, you know, time repeats itself again, you're looking at another scope, and let's hope, you know, knock on wood, he doesn't have to go out, because if they have to do the shave down again a little bit more, we're looking at about 4 to 6 weeks of being out, if that happens. But hopefully, since he wasn't in the locker room on crutches, things can bode well, and he'll be back with us in a week. But only time will tell.
Sure. Doc, I would rarely ask about a player on another team, but the Aiden Hutchinson injury was so brutal, and it's, you know, one of the best players in the league. Can you just tell us from your perspective what goes into whether an athlete with that type of injury will make a full recovery? I mean, let's put it this way. Obviously, they couldn't pick the doctor. It was emergency surgery, so it's like right to the hospital. Whoever's the doc is the doc. So you can't scout the country for the best doctor. What goes into whether he gets to make a full recovery?
Yeah, and, you know, I don't blame you for bringing this up, because, you know what, he went down magnificently. The guy had a broken tibia, and he still made the sack. I mean, what more can you ask for, especially against the Cowboys? Yeah, give me a break. But this gentleman here, so his prognosis for a full recovery is outstanding. It's going to be great.
Good.
They went in there early. I know he was left behind. His team went back to Detroit, but he had to have this addressed. I don't see any issues with him returning next season. He's going to be out naturally for this season. With a tibia fracture, you're looking at tons of torsional force, tons of impact. So when he went friendly fire with number 54, McNeil's leg hit his, and then down he went. So they had to get him in the OR fast to prevent infection, to make sure that sucker heals right. And, you know, whenever they come in, put the air cast and cart you out, there's something serious going on with a joint or bone. So they did everything by the book, and this young gentleman will be back in play next season.
I'm glad you think so. That's great. That's wonderful to hear. All right, Doc, we really appreciate it. Again, it's the NovaCare Injury Rehabilitation segment with Dr. Francesco, and we always love getting the report. And I like the side commentary and a little bit of humor mixed in, taking a shot at the Cowboys.
Happy to help out.
Doc, thanks very much. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you too. Have a great day.
You got NovaCare Rehabilitation Injury Report. Oh, on this Monday morning, kind of a, cloudy, just gray day in the Delaware Valley for whatever reason. getting near the middle of October. I guess we're pretty much in the middle of October. Look, we don't have a particularly good football team, but we do have one that still has a very good shot to make the playoffs. You know, they're in the hunt, and that's part of what yesterday's win was about, is obviously trying to stack wins. I mean, you probably need to get to 9, maybe 10 wins to make the postseason. So yesterday was a step in the right direction in that regard, particularly with Washington losing. With that said, it was yet another uninspiring victory. And so we're here again today, and it feels like we've been here really since the middle of last season, maybe even a little bit earlier in the season, where we assess an Eagles victory through the uncomfortable prism of being happy that they won, but not being thrilled with how they played. And really, I don't ever remember a time in my lifetime, and I've lived a long time now as a Philadelphia sports fan, where there's ever been such an extended... Seltzer, do you ever remember such an extended stretch of excuse-me wins by a Philadelphia team?
No. Definitely not.
Definitely not,
like,
right?
Last season alone, the first half of last year was the longest stretch I remember. The fact that it's still happening this year... Definitely,
and we think the last time they had an impressive win, like impressive meaning convincing and without the other team dropping the ball at the end of the game, so to speak, was the Miami game last year,
yeah.
Which was around week 6?
Somewhere in there. I think it was week 6. Yeah, they won by 14.
So it's been one calendar year now.
Yeah.
Basically, one calendar year without a convincing victory. That's hard to do, man. Especially when you win as many games as Eagles have in that span. I mean, they do win games, but look, the bottom line is, they have a shot for the playoffs. They have no shot for the Super Bowl or the conference title game unless they start playing a lot better, which is possible. I don't want to push it aside like it's an impossibility. We've seen teams improve before. We really have. This team needs to improve in a lot of ways. 215-592-9494. One person that knows it is Lane Johnson. Let's listen to Lane after the game. I really appreciate it. Him keeping it real. I mean, he's seen it all as a Philadelphia athlete. Howard had a really good question to Lane, and I was happy that Lane kept it real with his answer. Listen to this exchange.
Lane, it's a win, but is it disappointing that...
Yeah. I said I feel like a very concentrated offense. We do some good things. We have all this ability, but we have yet to prove that we can hit on all cylinders. So... that's definitely something that's going to be on our mind. You know, I think, you know, moving forward, that's something we got to fix, especially starting fast. We haven't done that in 2 years, so you know, puts ourselves in a bind. So, yeah, this game was maybe a lot more competitive than what it needed to be.
John, it's frustrating when your right tackle keeps it real and your head coach doesn't.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm
saying? He's talking about we have so much we need to fix. Yes, we all feel the same way. We're all watching these same games. Yeah. It really is a problem that the head guy gets up there, and his MO seems to be completely different than ours, than the players themselves. At what point do you, I don't know, stop trusting? Like, I don't understand how our coach could, in good conscience, get up there and just act like everything's, you know, honky-dory. Like everything's, hey, no biggie, guys. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. We'll fix it. Like that part, I sometimes have to, like, check myself. Did he really say that?
I
like,
know.
Did he really act that way? Don't worry. We'll fix it. It's no big deal. Seriously? This is the NFL. Like, what you're doing is so precious. It's such a precious, an opportunity for greatness. Our city, we believe that this team, the way that it was constructed, like, you should be able to do so much more with it than what we've seen this entire year.
No question.
Going back to last year, going back to, I don't know, the Super Bowl.
I mean, listen, they got amazing skilled position players on offense. They don't have a particularly good defense, but they played well yesterday against a horrible offense. I mean, they're you should be able to make the playoffs typically with 9 wins now because there's 3 wild cards. I mean, there is opportunity, but they got to pick it up. Let's get to Ken and Sinemitz and your phone calls all day on all these topics. And we'll get to Sirianni's conduct a little bit more in a moment. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
I mean, you know.
Hey, Joe, on a lighter note, my wife and I saw The Notebook on Broadway over the weekend.
Nice.
And I'd never seen it before, and I'm surprised that is, like, one of your favorite movies. It just doesn't track. So,
Well, I can't speak to the play, but I can tell you that the movie is just awesome.
Well, I've never seen the movie, but I would imagine it's a very similar
Let me
story.
Put it this way, Ken. I would rather watch The Notebook 10 times in a row after I get home today than rewatch that Eagles game from yesterday. Okay?
Well, we all know you'll probably do that. So,
well, maybe once or twice. 10? Yeah, a little excessive. Ken, what'd you make of the game? What'd you make of the post game? Floor is yours.
Well, the post game, like you guys know, I don't really get too wrapped up in press conferences, but like thank God for Nick Sirianni because it kind of masks the fact that we are in serious need of an NFL quarterback, and that's going to have to start happening like next year. The Eagles are going to figure out what they're going to do because you talk about a constipated offense. Kellen Moore was supposed to transform this offense. He's made it worse. And, the single common denominator in this offense is the guy that takes the snaps. And, you talk about we don't score any points in the first quarter. Those first two drives that both ended with these feeble deep attempts, and if you go back and watch them, he's got guys underneath to just take the first down and move the sticks, and they're there, and he just refuses to take it. And it's just it's torpid, man.
Well, Ken, I'm increasingly alarmed about Jalen, and I don't expect him to be around too much longer. But I give him credit for improving as the game went on yesterday. But at a certain point, it can't just be that all the time.
It can't. And the sad part is that the product on the field is not equal to the sum of the parts because there's really a lot of good players on this team.
Well, here's what I'd say is the saddest part, Ken.
Ken Jalen played a good game yesterday.
No, he didn't. He didn't.
What are you talking about?
No, he played good
John,
at the
you
end.
You have lowered the bar. You have lowered the bar for Jalen to say that's a good game because Jalen didn't turn the ball over for the first time in 10 weeks.
Like, he was efficient. He made the right decisions on whether to pull it or where to go with the football.
Two drives, John. What? Go back and watch the first two drives. He did not make the right decisions.
Okay.
And that's part of the reason why they didn't score any points in the first quarter.
Part of the reason why it was a close game.
Yeah.
Against a bad team. Yeah.
You're just lowering the bar for Jalen to the point where pretty good is good enough for a $255 million quarterback that is supposed to be the centerpiece of this franchise. And right
pretty
now,
good happens with every quarterback out there. Pretty good happens some quarters to every quarterback on the books.
Here's my guess. My guess is that the Eagles have a lot of scouting going on of college quarterbacks right now, and they're keeping their eye all around the NFL to figure out the musical chairs.
That's the way it works all the time
position. No, but not really. The Chiefs aren't hardcore scouting college football quarterbacks right now. They're not. I mean, they're just not. The Eagles know that in
they
a year
scouting.
Or two.
They're watching
but not,
a heck of a lot
but
of film
not,
on everything.
But not
everything.
Hardcore. I mean, the Eagles, in my opinion, we'll need a new starting quarterback in the next year or two. We'll see where it goes. All right, Bat of the Bone Award. It almost, James, feels like a blame ball day. Rhea, they did win that, right?
They did win, Joe.
The Eagles won?
Yes, confirm it.
It ain't blame balls. It's game balls. It's the Bat of the Bone Award. And no, we will not give our game ball to Kenny Albert, who I swear to God, what is it, 31 years he's broadcast on Fox, I feel like he's done 700 yes. of his 500 games have been Eagles games.
Yes,
let's put it that way.
I agree
way.
With you on that.
I mean, my God. But
oh,
anyway.
I didn't know he did 500 games. They didn't make a big deal about it or anything.
Come on, Sotzer. Give him a moment.
Look, he moved on from being Marv's brother to being Kenny. Congratulations.
Is Marv's son.
Marv's son, excuse me.
Marv's
son.
Brother.
Not brother.
How
son.
Old do you think Kenny Albert
no,
is?
Son, obviously.
Dude, Marv
yes.
Albert's like 85.
Yes, yes. Bad job by me.
But look, Kenny Albert could be listening right now. I mean, he's probably still
he's
in
not,
town.
Don't worry.
He's not listening. All right. Anyway, Kenny Albert, congratulations.
Wow,
all right.
His brother. Oh, my gosh.
Come on, man. Seltzer took a bite out of that one. All right.
Hey,
John, you get the first That's crack right. at it. It is game ball. So who are you giving a game ball to?
A.J. Brown was just incredible.
No question.
How do we get more of that? How do we ensure that he doesn't have any soft tissue stuff ever, ever, ever again? Because he really does matter. But both he and Devontae, what a
slow
major,
down. You get one guy. Slow
difference.
Down. We don't have many to choose from, and Devontae might be needed in this segment right now. All right, it's a Bat of the Bone Award, Seltzer.
Yeah, I was wondering if we just all force AJ Brown and we move on.
Right.
I'll go with Brandon Graham. 200 games as an Eagle. 200 games. Made a play again yesterday. Has been their best edge rusher somehow this
Don't
year.
Don't do end-arounds on him.
Yeah, right? I mean, 200 games. You know, what a career. Awesome day for Brandon yesterday.
Great. Well said. Rhea, what do you got?
I mentioned him earlier. I just thought he was terrific. Cooper DeJean, six tackles, three solo, half a sack with Bryce Huff, of all people. He had a quarterback hit. Decent, you know, good in the punt return. He was just, he was fantastic yesterday. He was as advertised.
Yeah, no, I was very impressed with Cooper DeJean. He's got to not catch punts on the 4-yard line.
Well, yeah.
And I'd like him to know not to do that, but he played a really good game defensively. I was very encouraged. Look, final game ball, bat of the bone award. I'll give it to Devontae Smith. I mean, you know, bottom line is you got an all-time for Philadelphia sports and, you know, it's to a certain extent NFL receiving duo. I mean, it really is something. It's an amazing combination. And the Devontae play in the fourth quarter, you know, catching that ball underneath and running. And I'd like to think, I mean, I haven't seen the all-22 of it yet, but I'd like to think that's probably pretty good design by Kellen Moore to get a player like Devontae that open. And obviously, you know, nice job by Jalen hitting him in stride with that one. And away he went for what looked like a fairly easy touchdown, if you will. So Devontae is a great player. Is he as good as AJ? No, but he's a great football player. He's a tremendous asset to the Eagles and Philadelphia sports. And he, like AJ and Brandon Graham and Cooper DeJean, big reasons why they won that game yesterday. 215-592-9494. But don't kid yourself. The two biggest reasons why they won the game, one, because AJ Brown is all world. And I'm not talking LL Cool J all world. I mean NFL all world. And two is the Cleveland Browns just stink. I mean, they just flat out stink. If you play an average team yesterday, the Eagles probably lose the game. Let's go to the phones. Patrick in Tabernacle. Patrick, good morning.
Morning, everybody.
What's up, Patrick?
What's up, Patrick?
Joe, listen, man, you summarized, I think, a lot of how I feel. Like, last year, I remember thinking all those crazy, ugly wins we were getting. Oh, you know, I was like, Jalen, you know, all he does is win. Find a way to win. And, like, fast forward a year later, listen, man, this team, Joe, I had them at 10 wins. I don't know if they're going to get 10 wins.
Well, they might, but they might not. I mean, they're going to finish anywhere between 7 to 10.
And you know, the thing, it's just really disconcerting to watch Sirianni and
horrible.
To listen to Sirianni, and I really think I'm kind of at the point where, you know, he's our coach, but beyond that, I'm not putting much stock into this guy, you know, and luckily for me, I'm a big Flyer fan here, and I'm going to lean heavy on my Flyers this year because, you know, I'm really disappointed. I hate to say it, but I'm just disappointed.
Of course.
By the same because
of course.
It's just the same thing. It's we're you know, how are we struggling? How are we struggling with this Browns team?
Well, Patrick, you know, I think it's a combination of quarterback struggling early and head coach just really, really
They're just not – I mean, to come out again and to see those first two series, man, that's just – that's trash. That's garbage, what we saw to start that game with a bye.
Patrick, you know what's incredible? What happened after the game bothered me more than the game, and that's saying something.
Joe, I agree. I mean –
because I was – Patrick, I was embarrassed – as a Philadelphia Eagles fan, I was embarrassed yesterday.
Yeah,
like I don't want to get text messages from my buddy. Like I went to Fairfield in Connecticut. I don't want to get text messages from Giants and Jets and Patriots fans who I went to college with. Like, dude, what's up with your head coach? Like, I don't want to deal with that.
He's your guy from them. What's up with your coach?
Right. Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I don't have responsibility for him.
Exactly. But I mean, he does represent the team that we love and that we need. Right now. I mean, we need them.
You think every player in that locker room likes what Nick did yesterday?
Probably not.
They asked him to do it. He told us. They need you, Nick.
That's so crazy to me that he would actually say, hey, the guys came to me and said they want more Nick.
You know, ridiculous.
I don't know that's what they were asking for, Nick.
I agree.
I personally, as a player, I want my head coach, I want his MO to be like as dignified an ass whooper as the planet has ever seen. You know, like Andy Reid standing up in the end zone, waiting for everyone to run 70 yards through the end zone, every ball they catch in practice, because he's standing there.
and they respect him, and they're going to work because they want to earn his respect. Does it feel like Nick has that same, I don't know, gravitas?
Well, of course not.
What a joke.
It is
a
joke.
It's just not even the same galaxy.
Well,
it's
so different. And I got to tell you, I put it so much now on Lori and Howie, who, you know, they haven't been in my crosshairs for a couple of years now because, you know, they had a good couple of years. But Lori and Howie should be ashamed of themselves for permitting this. I'd say the last two times I felt that way about something with the Eagles, the last time was probably the Chip Kelly thing, just that whole thing. And the time before that was Andy's press conference. And I'm a pro Andy guy, but his press conferences were inexcusable, and Lori permitted it. And right now what Lori and Howie Roseman are doing is permitting absolute clown nonsense.
That attitude of his in his that was like almost like unhinged news conference.
I know.
You bring up your three kids, you're cursing in front of them. I mean, they're mild curses, but still, yeah. It was a bad look for the organization.
Horrible.
It really was.
It was horrible. Absolutely. I'm not trying to be like Mr. Stickler and stuff, but that just was not appropriate. I'm sorry. I find it, your word was embarrassing. It's offensive in a lot of ways. The conduct, I feel like it's insulting to us as fans. It's insulting to our intelligence. You know, like, you can't get up there and pretend like everything was good.
Well, that's the other thing, that part too. Just, I mean, they had this, Seltzer, you know, after week one, when they beat the Packers, first show we did, I said, here's what you're going to get this year. You're going to get a handful of ugly wins and a handful of bad losses.
Yep.
Every game this year has either been an ugly win or a bad loss.
Yep.
Every game. I mean, every game is an ugly win or bad loss. By the way, Rhea, if Chuck Bednarik were alive,
yes,
because Chuck Bednarik would say stuff when it was like not warranted.
Yes,
and it would drive Lori and the Eagles organization nuts. If Bednarik was alive today,
oh my God,
and he watched the Nick Sirianni press conference yesterday, could you imagine what Chuck Bednarik would say?
I don't know how any other team executive in this city, or really, because frankly, he's gone viral across the country.
It's embarrassing.
Looks at that and says, that's a professional head coach.
It's one of the headlines on ESPN. Not the press conference, but the Nick Sirianni gets into it with Eagles fans. Yes. It's like ESPN.com, bang, one of the main headlines.
Two things about Sirianni that maybe hasn't been said yet. One, he has a shot to be the first NFL coach in history to go 4-for-4 as far as making the playoffs in his career and get fired. Okay,
yes, that's
really possible.
Maybe anywhere, like,
right?
Not just Philly.
No,
like, I doubt that's ever happened anywhere.
I tend to doubt it also. Number two, I really think he will not get hired as a head coach somewhere else. I really believe that. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Why would he?
Because
he just said he might be the first coach ever to start first four seasons, go to the playoffs and get fired.
Yeah, it's really irritating. All right, so let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day, brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. The all-new 2025 Equinox, it sets the bar on styling, and Armin Chevrolet has them in stock now. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. Today's poll question, what annoyed you more yesterday? Was it A, the ugly win versus a bad Browns team, or B, Sirianni's conduct? All of the elements of his conduct. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and certainly wait on the phone lines
as
well.
What a ridiculous Twitter question.
I know. I know.
I mean, it's so silly. Wow.
James, what bothered you more?
The conduct.
Me too.
And I can't believe it.
The fact that we're talking about this.
Yes, exactly.
That is what should bother all of us. The fact that we're even having to discuss the conduct of our head coach because he's childish. He's being so, like, indiscriminately inappropriate.
Immature is the word I use, but you can use others. Immature to me kind of sums it up.
Yeah.
Because he's not a bad guy. He's a good guy. You can tell he's a good dad. But it's like, Nick, not now. Not here. Not that way. I mean, dude, you just beat one of the worst teams in all of professionals. Like, the worst team in pro sports was that, what baseball team was it?
The White Sox. Yeah.
White Sox are the worst team in pro sports. If you stack up the next 5 to 8 next worst teams in all the 4 pro sports. I mean, the Browns, there's a good chance they're one of them.
Yeah, they're bad on both sides of the ball. They're really bad. And yesterday.
And it's a victory lap day after the game?
That's exactly what it felt like.
It was
like, hey, celebration time up here, guys. Let's bring the whole family out.
It's ridiculous.
It did not feel like celebration time. It felt like lick the wounds and figure out what the heck is wrong time. Yet there was that total disconnect. Again, there should have been more dissatisfaction from the head coach. Yet he was so self-satisfied up there.
He was.
Self-satisfied. And someone needed to tell him. I can't believe that the organization let him look that way.
Look,
it's not their style.
Today it's on Lurie and it's on Howie. It just is. And maybe Smolinski has a piece of that pie. I don't know. I think they're the three people in the organization ranked higher than the head coach. Someone's got to grab him and say, Coach, knock it off. I mean, really, it's embarrassing. Now, let's get to elements of the game because, you know, I don't want to lose sight of the fact that they won, and I don't want to lose sight of the fact there were some cool moments in the game. Not a ton, but some.
Grant Calcaterra was good.
He did a nice job.
Like, really, really surprisingly explosive for his size. It looked like, wow, this guy's got a real chance to have a future, big play type guy.
It was good.
I loved that.
Good play design on that.
Absolutely needs to work on the blocking part,
but
we got Jack Stoll for that.
Yep.
Calcaterra looked really nice.
Wait, is Jack Stoll back?
Yeah.
He is?
Back and forth.
I didn't know that. I didn't know Jack Stoll was. Did he play yesterday?
I think he did, yeah.
Okay, all right. Jack Stoll, welcome back. All right, let's listen to some of the highlights from the game. There were some notable things that happened. Obviously, let's start with the Eagles' first touchdown. They're up 3-0. And then A.J., who I thought was just the star yesterday. A.J. with a big play.
Hurts back. Hurts looks. Hurts is looking for A.J. Brown, who has it for a touchdown.
That's what they do. These two, that's what they do.
All right, so
22 yards for a touchdown.
All right, so the Birds have a 10-0 lead, and obviously it was 10-3 getting near halftime. Now, this next thing we're going to play is not a highlight. It's a low light, but I think it is an important element to play here to tell the story of the game. So let me be clear. I was against, before it being kicked, the Eagles going for the 57-yard field goal. I mean, the way I looked at it, the other team's quarterback stinks. The other team's offense stinks. You're up 10-3. And normally I would trust Jake Elliott, but 57, you're really starting to push it. And my thought was, you know, just push Cleveland back. They're probably not going anywhere at the end of the half. Don't give them the chance to get the ball at midfield with some time left on the clock to score before the half. Well, holy hell, no one could have foreseen how bad it would get. But I did not like the decision by Sirianni. And, of course, the further back a kick is, The lower the trajectory, the kicker has to kick the ball.
Better chance of it being blocked.
100% accurate. Let's listen, because this almost played a huge part in almost costing the Eagles the game.
Ball is spotted. The kick is blocked. It's blocked. It's picked up by the Browns. They are running down the right sideline. One man to beat. And into the end zone goes Rodney McLeod. It was blocked by Myles Garrett. And suddenly we've got close to a tie game. Blocked. Oh, what a mess that was.
Total mess.
Also, can we mention Michael Clay? You know, we've mentioned every other coach. We've had a block punt and a block field goal already this year. Both already this
You're
season.
Right.
Six games. Like he had a good year last year.
Games.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. So week six, five games.
Yeah.
He had a good year last year. Kind of just gotten forgotten about.
No question.
I think it needs to be mentioned.
This is one of those situations. You saw the way that they brought it with Myles Garrett. It was right up the middle.
Yep.
And this is the way that they've had success in the past. A lot of times, and this was the case for us, a lot of times because you need more offensive linemen, you insert backup offensive linemen across the board to just create that wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got guys who are backups in there, and sometimes you just don't get that mesh. You know, they all cross their legs. It really is like a wall.
And defensive linemen also get in there sometimes.
Yeah, sure. Well, the point is, like, that mesh was not quite what it needed to be, and when you take advantage of it with the most athletic guy on the field, who also happens to be 6'6" and a half, you know, Myles Garrett, 275 pounds,
yep,
really the ideal blocker, the ideal field goal blocker when it comes right up the middle, the shortest path.
Sure.
It was a smart play.
It was,
and
just,
we were not ready. We were not sound.
What did you make of the decision, John? Before the ball is blocked, did you like? So it's funny. My brother said to me last week, They got to trust Jake Elliott more. And I know what he's talking about. He's talking about the fourth and twos, the fourth and ones, the fourth and threes. You know, the ball's on the 36. Okay. This wasn't that. This was a 57-yard field goal. Did you like the decision in the moment, John, to kick it? I did not.
I did not care as much as you did. I was indifferent one way or the other. Like it was fine. It was fine. I expected we'd make it. I expected if we were going to kick it, we had it. Like we were absolutely certain that Jake was going to nail that with trajectory. Like with the, like you're talking about, the immediate trajectory that would get it over.
We also do need to be careful here as a fan base with Jake Elliott. He can't make everything. I mean, I know we're used to him making a lot, but there does come a point where you have diminishing returns. I mean, 57 is pretty aggressive. All right, let's get to the fourth quarter. Tie game. Field goals have been missed by both teams. It's pretty ugly. Boos have been raining down. But Jalen really picked it up as the game went on, and on a beautiful play, hit Devontae on a crosser. It led to a big score.
Ertz again on the gun. He's back. He's looking. He fires wide open. Smith, 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Devontae Smith.
Hello.
Awesome. Just awesome. I mean, and at that point, here's the thing. At that point, I'm thinking, okay, the Eagles will probably win, but there's still a legitimate possibility they lose because they're the Eagles.
And Jack Stoll, by the way, was in on that play.
Oh, good for him.
The mesh.
Good for Jack Stoll.
There you go.
Right, Jack Stoll. Well done.
Like 36 plays.
Fair enough. Well, that's what a blocking tight end does. You don't really notice them that much.
Yes.
All right, so they got the lead, but I think we're all wondering, are they going to hold on to it? Well, let's get, obviously, to the end of the game. They've got a lead, but, you know, Cleveland can certainly get the ball back. It's second and long. I did not, when the ball is in the air, I got to tell you, I'm like, I cannot believe they had thrown the ball in second and long. Could be an incompletion. Other teams got one more timeout that they could use on third down. Like, you are playing with fire. But credit to Jalen and credit to AJ for converting it. This was a big-time throw. This was a gutsy throw. This was a big-time catch. Let's listen to the moment that sealed the game.
Hurts in the gun. Slot to the far side. Barkley to his right. On second down, he's back. He's looking. He is going deep down the far side of the field. And it is caught! A.J. Brown at the 10! A.J. Brown at the 10!
Oh, that's just fun.
What a throw, what a catch.
That's just fun. Greg Newsom is right there. Once again, the coverage is tight. But A.J. Brown, with all these little maneuvers that he has, just knows how to get to the football, make the play with the defensive back draped all over him.
There really was a well-executed play. So credit to both quarterback and receiver. I mean, Hurts and A.J. were phenomenal in that play. I will tell you, I would not advise that often because I think they were playing with fire there, but it worked, and they get the win. They get to 3-2. All right, let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. In the next couple of minutes, we're going to get to the various things Sirianni said after the game, obviously that touched off an additional level of firestorm. Let's get to Adrian right now. Adrian, good morning.
I mean, it's almost like a word of insanity. Y'all keep doing the same thing over and over again. Y'all keep firing these coordinators with bringing back the coach. I mean, y'all running the same offense from last year. What do y'all expect?
Is this my Giants caller gloating after your team got – what did your team put up yesterday? 2 points? Three? Seven?
Y'all going to blow somebody out? Like, when the last time y'all blew somebody out? Like, y'all should be glad y'all got a win. You know how hard it is to get a win in the National Football League? And then y'all got
by the way, the last time the Eagles flat out blew someone out was the Giants playoff game in the division round 2022. That's the actual answer.
Well, the Niners, I guess, they kind of won by two touchdowns.
But it wasn't a blowout.
You're right.
You got to understand, the last time we seen y'all, we blew y'all out. It was a butt whipping. Now y'all coming back up the turnpike.
I know.
Hey, look, worry about what's going to happen to y'all up the turnpike, baby.
Oh, Adrian.
Wait, Adrian, you're killing me, man.
You're killing me, Adrian.
You believe that your team actually wins this weekend?
Hey, let me tell you, Sirianni is a bull. He got a nerve. Dude, that's really pissed y'all off when he say all the stuff that, oh, yeah,
it's
I changed the defense. Oh, yeah, I made a – man, come on. He going to say that every week? Like, come on, sir. He's a bozo.
All right, Adrian,
he's a bozo the clown.
All right, call us on Friday when we get into the Eagles-Giants thing, which I got to tell you, it feels like another mess. Feels like another either bad loss or ugly win. But we'll say, Adrian, I guess I'll say I appreciate the call. Let's go to Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, guys. You know, so I initially told Seltzer, well, I called, when I called in, that I really didn't care about what Sirianni said, but I just, my whole attitude going into yesterday's game, frankly, was still affected by recovery from the Phillies.
Of course.
After listening over the last hour and 15 minutes, my biggest thing with him is, you know, he's hiding behind his kids at the priest, like, hey, don't yell at me. My cute kids are here. I think the reporters saw right through that. So,
well, you know what's incredible? Sielski asked a question that I actually think Sirianni took as a compliment. Now, Sielski asked it in a neutral way, but I can tell you this. I feel pretty damn confident it was not said as a compliment.
Well, if you read Mike Sielski's column, you can tell that. He torched him.
Well, good for Mike.
I mean, flat out, he said he was using his kids as shields.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. It was pretty.
I cannot believe the Eagles organization allowed that to happen. I mean, after repeatedly having the kids involved previously, I thought for sure that there was some sort of directive. Hey, Nick, that's like we've had enough of that.
Enough. Yeah.
Like that shouldn't happen any longer because it is unprofessional. So let's curtail that. I could not believe that right out of a bye, it was back to that. That just felt like it felt like more than an oversight. It felt just so wrong.
Well, Lurie and Howie shouldn't have to stand by the door.
You're right.
To make sure that he doesn't bring the kids. They really should.
No kids, Nick.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, and Big Dom should not have to stand and hold his hand to make sure he's not yelling at people in the crowd.
Right.
But they have in the past, they have held his hand and made sure he didn't fight with people in the crowd. They have held his hand and made sure he didn't say things he shouldn't when he was in front of a microphone.
Ed, it's pretty bad, man. It really is.
Yeah. I mean, the thing on Jalen, and it's, I'm getting tired of sort of the dichotomy between seeing Jalen do great things, lead us on drives, and then seeing us do similar things that got him benched against Georgia 6 years ago. And it's sort of like it's Seltzer coming back from the next commercial. You have to play that history repeating song from Something About Mary. Look up the lyrics on that. That's like they say the revolution's near, but it's all just a little bit of history repeating. Mm. Like, you know, I need to flip that. I need to, you know, who do I have to, you know what, to get a hot start in the first quarter?
So, Ed, let me just say this. I think you know my theory. I think the reason why you see inconsistent football is he's just not that good. I mean, that's what inconsistent players do. Sometimes they play well, sometimes they don't, and it just nets out as average. That's what players that aren't good enough do.
Yeah, or maybe they can chart another fit. I mean, they talk all the time about the first 15 plays. Well, do we know what those plays are? Like, are they catering to Jalen's strengths? Are they really?
Well, you know what they did. You know what they did yesterday. They hadn't done an ad. Good call. Here's something I noticed that seemed to me to be a post-bye adjustment. Two early runs by Jalen. I mean,
he ran the ball 14 times yesterday. I mean, that was definitely part of the adjustment.
But it was early also. They hadn't done it early much.
It was part of what the defense. Part of what the Browns wanted, though, you got to remember who their defensive coordinator is.
Jim Schwartz
over there. He knows he wants to hit this guy. He wants to hit our quarterback. Yeah. He wants to have him keep that thing so he can try to get a piece of him. Now, that is part of, I would expect, that's
part of
the design. That's part of what Jim Schwartz wanted.
Yeah, and by the way, I mean, he lit the Eagles, I'll call it offense, up on that sack that knocked them, you know, back the 7 or 10 yards, whatever it was on third down. Now, with that said, it did look in the moment to me like Saquon missed a block.
He absolutely did.
Yeah, so you can't put...
That's on Saquon.
That's what I thought. All right.